Hey, Crystal, from our radio. And tonight we're going to talk about the church is whack. Yeah, the church is whack. This is something that kind of like burns within my spirit. And I'm glad that Mr. Ty Tribbett shared his heart on the subject. Obviously, everyone in the church world was coming against him because of what he said. But I do not think they understand and see it from his viewpoint and my viewpoint. So, tonight we're going to have some discussions about the church is whack. I have been in the body of Christ probably since I was 5 years old, in varying roles and capacities. I remember when I was a child going to attending the air base, and we had a Methodist service. I was an acolyte. So varying capacities I have done service. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm saying that to say I have a stake in this game. I have a stake. I want the church to represent Jesus Christ to the best of its ability. I have to go back to my experiences with learning about Ravi Zacharias. You know, I was amazed at the teaching this man had in using philosophy and apologetics and things like that to really further the gospel. But I was crushed when I discovered, after he died, that he was involved in a number of perverted sex scandals. Crushed. Over time, some more different scandals have come out. We know about those things and how they have affected the church. And every day we're dealing with people who are looking to the church for guidance and for help, and we let them down. So I want to look at these things tonight in light of how can we fix the body of Christ. The Bible says judgment is going to begin in the house of the Lord. I have long held the principle of the scriptures that if we fall upon the rock, according to that scripture, the rock won't have to fall upon us. Meaning if we humble ourselves, if we seek the Lord, he won't have to destroy us. But we're reaching a point in time where there's so much pride and arrogance in the leadership within the church that nobody thinks that they have to repent. Nobody thinks that they have to carry themselves with dignity and with character. And when you examine the statements that Ty Tribbett said, I agree. The church is whack. The church is doing things to hurt people on a continuous basis. And there is no accountability. This is especially true in prophetic circles. You can give a prophetic word and be wrong, and there's no one that holds you accountable to that prophetic word. And people's lives have been destroyed, torn down. And we just go on about our merry way. Touch not the anointed. Don't judge. If you judge, you're going to be judged. The same measure that you judge, you're going to judge other people, and you're going to receive that same judgment. And we're holding unbiblical views about things that we in the church are supposed to do, and we're supposed to police our own selves. We shouldn't have to have God expose the things that are going on in the church through the world. The church should be judging itself and saying, hey, we need to fix this. But we're not seeing that. And it's time that the church does this. So I'm going to bring on Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock is a secular commentator, conservative, Christian, and he has some interesting points. And he's in this clip here, he's talking about his podcast and why he created his podcast. And I'm bringing this out because this makes a whole bunch of sense to me, what he says. So let's listen to this. Yeah, here he is.
For those of you that are what we call day ones, any of you day one fearless people, if you remember what this show was founded on, the belief that two groups of people have failed the American public, ministers and comedians.
Oh.
Remember I said that.
A secular person. And he's right. The church has failed. This piece about the comedians is interesting, but the church has failed.
Ministers and comedians. And that part of the founding of this show was about being a support, a tool, necessary encouragement for ministers and comedians to stand up and do their jobs and play their role in protecting American freedoms, such as free speech. I said from the very beginning, that's why Uncle Jimmy was a part of the founding of the show. He was supposed to add a comedic element to this show that we'd have fun with, and that I was going to basically play the role of Barnabas, an asset to the disciples, try to create content that ministers, believers, entertainment, people interested in the entertainment industry could watch our content and not see all of their values stomped on, spit upon, defiled. I wanted this show to be like, well, if you're a Christian.
So let's talk about this for a second. We ministers are supposed to be carriers of the light. We are supposed to hold the standards. We're supposed to know how to reach people's souls and cause people to turn from darkness to light. And when we do this, it makes our world a better place. It makes our country a better place. As I was saying earlier, the status quo has been, you don't say nothing to me, I won't say nothing to you, and you can do all the dirt that you want to. I'm going to live a holy life. My expectation is that you're going to live a holy life too. But what the problem is right now is I'm living a holy life, but these other preachers aren't. And I'm not talking about me in general. I'm talking about the ministry heads themselves. And they're leading people astray. So, we had Roe versus Wade overturned. Do you know that there's people in the church who believe that it should not have been overturned? Do you know that there's people in the church who are fighting today for women to have abortions? Up until the ninth month, even after they're born, church leaders who are doing this. The church leaders have been silent on the homosexual agenda. The church leaders have been silent on the LGBTQAI plus agenda. Now the church leaders are being silent on trans. So, where is the standard? Where is the church and the minister's responsibility to call things out? And I think Mr. Whitlock brings this out because we used to do this. The church used to do this. But we have gotten soft. We have gotten, I'm not judging nobody, so I'm just going to stay right here in my own shell. Look at the United States and look at what's happened to us.
Christian family, a Christian minister, you could recommend to people in your family, people in your congress, hey, you should watch Fearless with Jason Whitlock. They talk about sports world, the entertainment world, politics in a way that is friendly to people that have our beliefs. I want it to be, and I want this show to be, an asset for ministers. And I also want it to be putting pressure on ministers to stand up and stand on truth. And the comedic part was about just we needed a place where we could laugh and have real conversations, because that's what comedians do. If a society is working properly, ministers stand in pulpits and talk about really uncomfortable things.
Uncomfortable.
From a biblical perspective.
Uncomfortable.
Which creates the room for the rest of the society to participate in uncomfortable conversations. And then comedians play a similar role. They crack jokes and use irony and humor to point out the insanity of the society. And so when ministers and comedians are doing their job, when they're not being politically correct, when they're not playing by the rules of the regime, of the establishment, they're creating space for all of us to talk about the things we really need to talk about.
Come on. Come on. We are in a place right now where the church has lost its voice. We have given up and abdicated that responsibility and said it's not our job to do these things. And look at where our country's at. There used to be church leaders that would stand in their pulpits and they would call the truth for what it is. And we don't have this today, because everyone's concerned about losing their 501c3. Everyone is concerned about offending people. And we don't want to tell the truth about what's really going on. This is a shame. So let's introduce Ty Tribbett. And what I want you to see is he comes up and starts talking about his experiences with winning, I believe it is a Grammy. It's not a Grammy. He was nominated to receive an award. I can't remember what it was. So he got invited to be on the Breakfast Club. The attack that Mr. Tribbett is experiencing right now is absolutely mind-blowing to me, because the people in the church are mad because he said the church is whack. And the ones who are mad, to me, are the ones who are committing the offenses against us, against the world. So I knew that there was, I listened to this interview because I wanted to see for myself what was being said and what Mr. Tribbett actually said. I don't see anything wrong with what he said. And so much so that I'm going to show you a little piece of where he was talking about his feelings of how he grew up. And this is what we're going to look at now.
Everybody, you know, coming out of that, you know, I'm glad I had, like, the little family church we had, little 50-member family church that we had just kept us grounded, kept us focused, and I was just, like, tunnel vision.
He gives credits to the church that he grew up in for keeping him grounded. He's not coming against the church. When you look at that statement there, that one statement out of that whole 50-some minute interview, that tells me that he's not embittered, he's not angry, he's not, just pointing fingers at the church for the sake of pointing fingers at the church. So I don't understand how the world can get this messed up, how the church can attack him for what he said, because he was very clear. It was his foundation. So let's listen further at another statement that he says, which I think is true. It's true.
I think most embrace the culture of church, but not the Christ of them. You know what I mean? Not Christ.
Right,
so I think that's the issue as well. I think when you try to move without the Spirit of God, not just the Word of God, but the Spirit of God, this is where personal relationship comes in. when you try to move or live your life without the Spirit of God, that is your guide. That is your direction. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit comes to lead and to guide us into all truth. Mm. So there's a lot of wisdom and truth that we forfeit by not being led by the Spirit of God, by being led by Google, and by being led by other things like that. Even a therapist, I will add, the Bible says, add to your faith knowledge, but add to your faith. I think we let knowledge replace our faith. Mm. We let counsel replace our faith. Every new information you get as a believer should add to your faith. And that comes through discernment and knowing the Spirit of God. So take the time to develop that relationship with God. Like, this sounds crazy, but Lord, all right, let me pray. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, take that time to develop. It's your protection. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? From the wolves in sheep's clothing. It's your protection from wrong relationships and dating the wrong person. God knows all. He knows the person you're dealing with. He knows the thoughts and the intents and the motives of the people you're dealing with. So the Holy Spirit is a cheat code to help us deal with life, to make the right business decisions, to make the right decisions for our children, because this child is different from this one. I can't do that on my own. So when you allow the Holy Spirit to be your lead and your guide, I mean, your way will be prosperous, the Bible says. So, and you'll be protected, because everybody is for themselves in this world, and there's much evil and darkness, as you know, as you said, even in clergy college, yo, and I'm tired of it. My wife and I are going to work on, I think, a podcast or something called Flipping Tables, just to kind of like, not to expose nobody, nothing like that, but like, hey, y'all, you know what I'm saying? This is choreography, praise is not it. You know what I'm saying? We want people to get relationship and not religion, man. So, if anything, I'll leave y'all, it will be that. Please, please, please take
time. You gotta leave us on a prayer.
Relationship versus religion. Relationship. This is what we want. I'm in full agreement. I can't see anything wrong with what he said. And having been in the church, again, since I was 50 now, 45 years of seeing the church, people who are religious destroy the people who are really trying to live in the Spirit. It's sickening. It's sad. It breaks my heart that this continuously goes on and there's no one making an attempt to stop it. Now, I want to contrast this with things that were in the Bible. And I'm going to bring up Paul. And you know, they confronted people back in the day. They confronted people when they did things that they were not supposed to do, that was against the Bible. We're not allowed to do that today. And I'm saying we're not allowed to because nobody does it. And if you do, you're called out as being judgmental. You're called out as being harsh and critical and unloving and unkind. They didn't care about that back in Paul's day. Peter didn't care about that back in his day. The church needs to get back to this. If we are ever going to have any voice ever again to speak for the things of the Lord, where we have credibility, we've got to get our character cleaned up, and we've got to start calling things out that we're supposed to call out. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We just have to. So, listen at this next clip, because this is the church's wax statement. And please tell me if there's anything that you think is wrong with this, because I don't see it. I don't.
When something else becomes your source, something else is your source. You know what I mean? And that's the scary part to me. I don't want another thing besides God to be my source. Mm. Everything could be a resource. And if God leads me to that, fine. But if I just choose it, I could damage myself and my life and what I want and desire to do or be in life.
But what do you think about some of the, it seems like for a while, maybe the last 10 years, it seems like being a pastor was cool, right? So it was like, like everybody wanted to be a rapper. Everybody wanted to be a podcast host. And it seems like a lot of people wanted to be a pastor for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
You missed that era, the past era?
Yeah, I don't remember the past era.
You don't? Man, it was building them huge churches. Everybody was, I think the pastor phenomenon came from, oh man.
Getting money in the church, it's a bunch of different things. You can speak to it more, but I think getting money in the church and how you look and how you're praised is, and you forget that he's supposed to be praised, but how he praised you and all that type of stuff. So yeah, I see a lot of Instagram pastors out there, but you know it is what it is.
You killed it. You killed that whole thing. I think a lot of pastors were not called the pastor. They just, you know, study. You go to school, and then you just become a pastor, like you become a manager at, you know, Publix or something like that. And that's unfortunate for a lot of people who invest their, you know, money, time, attention, and their soul into people who they believe are literally called from God.
Now listen to what he's talking about. He's talking about the pastors, but he's talking about the people who are spending their money, their time, and their soul investing in these pastors. And these pastors are business people. You know, this is the education they've got. This is the training that they've got, but they have no real, true call from God. And they're destroying people because they're not in it for the right reasons. They're not in it because they love God and they want to serve him and they want to minister to his people. And what Ty Tribbett is saying is 100% accurate and right. You know, we have, and I can't remember the guy's name. You can go look it up, and there's probably 1,000 more of them. This guy was wearing $5,000 suits and charging a church for it, charging it as if it was a part of his normal everyday attire. And he was okay. He said, have you ever sweated in a suit and you messed up a $5,000 suit? Once it's sweated in, it's messed up and I have to get another one. Who does this? A business person who works in the church. That person is not called to minister to God's people. And to the degree that we're not weeding these people out and fishing them out of the church and exposing them and calling them out, it's to our own detriment. And we can walk around with blinders on our eyes all we want to. These things are destroying the church. They're destroying our credibility. And again, I don't see nothing wrong with what Ty Tribbett has said, because it's truth.
I don't believe a lot of pastors are. I think it's a system now. Oh God, it's a system. Yes. Everything is a system, and systems work with or without God.
Yes.
So I think the institution of church is whack.
Yes.
I think how church is ran is whack. I think the religious system and structure is whack. I don't subscribe to it, even though I grew up in it, I benefited from it, but I learned that God is not the church. And once I realized, whoa, God ain't church. That for me, you know what I mean? I ain't from the streets. I'm from the church. So that was a huge thing as well.
It's in the Bible. It says you can't even find God in a man-made temple.
Why don't we read that, though? Mm-hmm. How often do you hear that sermon? No, you hear people, pastors make the people about the church. We got the church name, we church in the church, and the bumper sticker, the church. The church should be about the people.
The church
should be about the people, but the church makes the people about the church. So all churches now are a movement, but they're not about the people. They're not about serving and loving the people.
Where is he wrong at? Where is he wrong? I don't see anywhere where this man is wrong for what he's saying, how he's saying it. And this is something that has to be addressed. You know, the American church is a trip, because we say we want revival, but we're prejudiced. Black people hate white people. Black people come against white people, and you know, they just, you owe us for slavery. You owe us because, you know, reparations, because you held us enslaved. The people that you're talking to today were not slaveholders. They were not slaveholders. And if their families were, you can't hold them accountable for what their families did. It was what was being done at the time. But you know, we have let this stuff creep into the church, and we've not addressed it. And we have lost our credibility. And Ty Tribbett is right. The church is whack. And these things need to be fixed, and they need to be corrected. But it's not going to happen, because we have gentlemen like this guy here that we're getting ready to show you. He's mad because he got called out. And he makes a statement that he's mad, and he doesn't want anybody to buy Ty Tribbett's albums and his records, and anybody that supports him, it doesn't make any sense. But listen to what he says, because he takes something completely out of context of what Ty Tribbett said. Let's listen to this.
And I hold that the church's effectiveness is greatly limited by the lack of change that takes place in the lives of those who claim to know the Lord. I'm taken aback at just a number of Christians who are brought on these worldly podcasts, and it seems like to me the singers are the worst ones.
Yeah.
Who just don't mind just dissing the church. And I'm really taken aback by those who will still buy their records. I'm not buying anything by any artist. If you get a chance to speak to the world and you let them coax you into sitting there for the next hour or 30 minutes criticizing the church and criticizing Christians. I was watching one, and the guy said to the man who's been interviewed, since you are a gospel artist, do you feel special pressure from the church? Do you feel that they're putting pressure on you, and that you have a greater responsibility? Everybody expects you to be perfect, and all the eyes are on you. See, that's the hook. I was talking to someone today. I was talking to Brother Gary. I said, Gary, listen to this. Now let me show you the hook. Because the way it starts, the way these interviews start, they start out ingratiating themselves with the guests. Tell them how wonderful they are. See, the devil knows how to make a fool out of you. And you're the only one who don't know it's a game. Because see, you're just sitting there so happy to be there.
So he's mad. He's mad because he got called out. And Ty Tribbett didn't call him out by name. He didn't go and say, Bishop so-and-so, this is who you are, and you're doing this, and you got into ministry under false pretenses, and you're not really serving God. He got convicted by what he said, by what he heard. And then he took something and twisted it and took it out of context. He said that they had this interview to fluff him up, to use him, because they were going to make him an example. So they were going to make him an example and make the church look bad. And Ty Tribbett shouldn't do this because, you know, there's so many other things that are good about what they do. And I got a problem with that. I got a problem with what he did, how he did it. It just is not right. It's not right. So if you notice in here, he said that they fluffed him up. I'm going to play you the clip so you can hear. Is it really fluff? Listen.
I want to ask you, with being a gospel singer, do you feel like it's a lot of pressure on you where it's almost like people look at your life differently, right? Like it's almost like they want you to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Do you have a hard time dealing with that?
I dealt with that before I became a gospel artist. So speaking of growing up in this small church, my grandmother was the pastor first. My dad was on the organ. I'm watching him every Sunday like, oh my God, this guy is amazing. I start playing, then he became the pastor. So I got that pressure as a PK. The perfectionness, all of that. I got all of that pressure as a young kid, like 12, 9, since I've been born. Spotlight's been on me to be the poster child for what Christ is. I'm like, yo.
And pastor kids be the worst.
Yeah. Why you?
Does it sound like they gassed him up and made him got him all swelled up? Does he sound embittered? He learned. He learned what the church was all about. He learned what people in the church was all about. He learned what religion was about. I want to go back to his original statement. He said, it's better for you to have a relationship with God than to have religion. And what this guy, this bishop that just come against him and said that he was embittered and this is why he was talking about this, and, you know, he's making the church look bad. Now, the church is making its own self look bad. This guy has some more comments, and I want you to hear them because I want you to understand how serious this is. And I'm asking you to pray for Todd Tribbett and pray for his ministry, that it does prosper. And my thought process is there are others out there like him who believe the same thing. I'm one of them. The church is whack. We need to get it together.
I was there on assignment. God put me in those people's hearts to invite. I hadn't even been in the city very long. So I'm there to represent him. I wish our Christian artists understood when these doors open. How about understanding that the Lord who saved you really don't want to, it's not in his intention to elevate you before the world so that you can get on the worldly platform, whether you're on the Breakfast Club, Shay Shay, or whatever you're on. God, hearts break that you would get on, and for the next 30 or 40 minutes or so, you join the lost, the backslidden, the wicked in criticizing the church. Now, well, Pastor, doesn't the church deserve criticism? Yeah, there's a whole lot of things wrong with the church. But the church on its worst day is better than the world. On its worst day. And with all of the things that you can say to criticize the church, oh, I can show you 10,000 things to praise the church for. See, because I wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for the church. I wouldn't know this lifestyle if it wasn't for the church. And you wouldn't either, because you learned it all in church. Found your spouse in church. Your parents became better parents because of the church. And you don't let the devil get in your head and you sitting there all filled with resentment for the church. You ought to ask God to forgive you tonight.
Ain't no resentment. There was not one ounce of resentment in Ty Tribbett. The church is whack. And the statements that he made, he took them out of context, meaning this bishop took those statements out of context. All of the other people who are coming against Todd Tribbett have taken those things out of context. It's time that we, the church, judge ourselves. We clean ourselves up. We police ourselves so that we can have the true anointing of God. I'm going to be talking about this some more in the future, but I wanted to take this opportunity, since the church is whack, to point out and highlight these things. We've got to do a better job. We've got people that we've got to save. And if we can't do a better job, you may as well just pack your stuff up and go home. Stop kidding yourself. Christopher, Radiant Fire Radio, I'm praying for you.
Hello? Can somebody hear me? This is Montana Civil Defense.
Come in here, calling Raven.
Somebody please come in.
Come on, Raven. Come in here, calling Raven.
What is about an alarm sequence?
Come in here to Raven. Talk to me, John.
There.
We're committed to excellence and truth as we conduct spiritual overwatch for your soul. We're committed to bringing the whole gospel to you. Simple truths, given with intellectual integrity, far better than Fox News and CNN combined. Please feel free to contact us with questions, comments, concerns at christopher@radiantfire.org. Like us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Amazon, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and more. Until next time.
That was your Overwatch, Einstein. You can thank him later.